Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the All Day SJ Show. I'm your host, Steven Johnson, and I hope all of your holiday seasons are going well so far. Joining me right now is a very special guest. Whether it's in print, on radio, or television, you know this man's work and his opinions when it comes to Chicago sports. He is a very accomplished sports columnist for the Chicago Tribune. He is a contributor and regular guest on NBC Sports Chicago's Sports Talk Live and In the Loop programs. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Mr. David Hall. David, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Stephen. I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well. Another busy week in Chicago sports, coming off the putrid Bears effort in Philadelphia. Getting ready for some checking on the Hawks and the Bulls. And, you know, there's always something going on. And then there's a great local story, too, in high school ranks at Phillips High School, winning a state football championship on the south side. I don't know if there's a better narrative in town than that sports story. So there's a lot to do, and it's a great privilege to be able to do, bring people these stories.
Absolutely, David. And, you know, if you don't mind me saying, that's why I was looking forward to having you on my show so badly. As a sports columnist at the Tribune, you've seen and done a lot. You've covered a lot of these awesome stories, as you just mentioned. And instead of starting the show off on a low note by talking about the Bears, how about we talk about that story with Phillips? Can you talk about, like, the significance of that to the Chicago area and what drew you to it? Go ahead.
So Phillips Academy, you know, they're on East Pershing, and it's in Bronzeville. And at first glance, it's a high school, 630 students. And it has rebuilt itself through sports. And 2010, it was the principal of the high school had was a history teacher, came to the school, Matt Sullivan. He had one student in his class for 2 weeks. They have rebuilt that, and they've done it through football. And football itself, I shouldn't say all through football, but they have 100 players on their team. And you all across the country, Stephen, you have examples of people who say football is dying. Well, on the south side, it's saving lives. And there are kids in this program that grow up and live in neighborhoods that would be considered dangerous. And they put themselves in harm's way to get to school every single day. And they practice at Mandrake Park down the road, a five-minute walk from the school. They pack their pads and their helmet, and they walk. They make the walk Tom Pershing. And they have been in three of the last four state championships games. And they won the Class 5A title on Saturday. They moved up from 3A to 5A because they were getting too good. Their coach wanted a challenge.
Right.
And to talk to these kids, they appreciate the opportunity that they have been given, and they're taking advantage of it. And it's just great to see.
It's awesome to see, David, especially, like you said, given the circumstances of what those children have to go through. They're making the most of their opportunity, man, and that's what it's all about. I was always taught growing up, you don't have to let your circumstances define you. If you want to be whatever you want to be, hard work and the ability to just stay focused and stay dedicated despite whatever distraction you have in your life, you're going to be able to get that done 10 times out of 10 just because you want to do it. And that's an awesome story. It brings a smile to my face just thinking about that those kids are doing it. And their futures are going to be even better because of it. And that's what we need to do. We needed to start the show off on an awesome note before we went into some kind of sour notes because of the state of Chicago sports right now. Basically, what is most important team, a team you've covered for a long time and have a very good pulse with, and that's the Chicago Bears, David. David, what's going on with this team? Like, a bad loss to the Packers. A demoralizing loss to the Lions where virtually the season was over with that one. And now this pathetic loss to the Eagles where the effort even trickled over to the locker room. You had Akeem Hicks saying, you know, I can't really say much. And then other, we got to look in the mirror and try to be better than we were tomorrow. You got Kyle Long visibly irritated after the Eagles went bowling to celebrate how badly they were beating those guys. What is going on with this team, David? Like, this is a team that came out the bye week, and they were very, you know, jacked up about the second half. What happened?
There was a you were 3-5, I think you felt like, boy, this is a team that could be 500, and they could make some, you know, headway in the second half of the year because of the schedule.
Right.
And then they lost a game against the Packers that was, you know, self-inflicted. That began the spiral, and it is a spiral right now, and it starts at the top. There's a losing culture at Palace Hall that's very difficult for them to get out of, and it's a mindset, it's a mentality. When something as bad is about to happen, the Bears expect it to happen to them, and they're not in a position where, as an organization, they have created enough good luck to take advantage of. And you make your own luck in sports, and I think the Bears continue to make decisions that, you know, they are putting themselves on the field in bad spots because they look like they lack preparation, they lack discipline, and so that all leads to they lack execution. And then when something bad happens, they expect history to repeat itself. So it's hard to get out of that rut, and I think, unfortunately, they're headed toward another, you know, situation where they're going to have to hit reset, and whether it's, you know, firing their coach, John Fox, or firing, you know, everybody. I don't know what direction they'll go in, probably just with the coach and leave Ryan Pace in charge to shape the roster. But at this point in time, it's only been 3 years since the Mark Trestman mistake, but it feels like history repeating itself again.
Great stuff, David. And that's a perfect segue to my next point/question. I got three names for you that I wanted to ask you. Who's on the hottest of seats, if you will? I got John Fox, I got Dal Loggins, and I got the aforementioned Ryan Pace. In my opinion, before I let you school everybody on it, I think in defense of Ryan Pace, I think at best we have to call his job incomplete. While he inherited a mess, like you said, with the Trestman mistake, but I like the way he's drafted. He's got his quarterback for the future by all means. Jordan Howard's on this team, all-pro running back. Akeem Hicks signed to an awesome deal. He's going to be a pro bowler and all-pro this year. I look at a lot of the talent on this roster, and he had a hand in the majority of it. He's made some good draft picks, and I think we need to at least allow him one more year because we need to see how these guys continue to develop. But John Fox and Dal Loggins, I don't get any traction with them being here beyond the rest of the season, and I think it's solely Fox. I mean, he's the head coach, he's at the center of everything, and you hear these comments from Loggins and even Trubisky talking about we do what the play calls allow us to, you know, little subtle hints like that saying we're not really doing what we want to do. I think that falls on the head coach. So out of those three names, you got Fox, Loggins, and Pace. Who do you say is on the hottest seat right now?
Well, I would start with Loggins because I would have fired him yesterday. I would have fired him last week. I'd have fired him last month. I have been critical of him from day one as a play caller because I just don't think that he did enough to warrant or deserve the job. And now, if you wanted to, you could justify last season because Jay Cutler was your quarterback and Dal had a rapport with Jay that was very important for an offensive coordinator at that time. But when Jay left, I had no reason to think that they were doing the right thing and bringing Dal Loggins back because he hadn't earned it.
Right.
And you were starting over with the new quarterback. I don't know why you didn't start over with the new play caller because you can see the lack of creativity. And when you play teams like the Eagles weren't just better physically, it's more superior overall in depth. You saw the way that schematically they were a team with Carson Wentz that had taken advantage of his skill set. And I just don't see that happening consistent enough. So I'd get rid of the play caller first. But you know what? Then I'd go with the head coach because he's the one who hired the play caller. He's the one who stuck with them. And he's the one who's responsible for his staff. And John Fox, the defensive coach. And he's the guy that is, you know, limiting maybe Dal Loggins' creativity if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt. It all starts and stops with the head coach. So I think that his seat is almost as hot as Loggins, but I think at least with John Fox, you have a track record that suggests he knows what he's doing.
Right.
He has won and had success before, but I don't think he's going to look back at the Chicago phase of his career with any fond memories. I mean, there may be one or two, but I don't think that it goes much beyond that. And then I think if you go to Pace, you make some really good points about Ryan Pace, Stephen. You understand that, you know, general managers are going to miss as often as they hit sometimes, even the best ones. And I think Pace has made some rookie mistakes. But at the same time, you do cite some really good examples. I mean, Jordan Howard, the guy that, if you learn how to use him, could be a real, you know, he's a Pro Bowl running back.
Right.
Akeem Hicks is a team leader and a durable guy and really worth the money and a great find. There have been some misses, and he's always going to have to explain away the Kevin White, you know, Leonard Floyd, if he doesn't come back from injury, you know, the way that he, with the burst that he needs. There have been some draft misses, and free agency has not been, you know, Ryan Pace's finest hour. But the hope is that he does have his quarterback. He bought himself some time. Trubisky, as much as he's regressed in the recent weeks, does look like a guy who can, you know, maybe make your general manager look good. So I would think that the Bears will reinvest in Ryan Pace and let him hire a coach on his own this time. I have to saddle him with a consultant that is going to give him a coach with which he's going to struggle.
The Chicago Tribune's David Hall joining the All Day SJ show. That's great stuff right there, David. And switching from one rebuilding team to another, if you will, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. In your estimation, how's the rebuild going so far? You got solid pieces, if not spectacular, with two star potentials in there. You have Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and who I think is really coming into his own as an NBA player, Denzel Valentine. With those four in the fold already and this small sample size, how do you see the rebuild shaping out? And do you think with the right moves with Paxton and Foreman, if they can make them, let's say they hit on their draft pick, let's say they do sign a decent free agent, do you think this can be a one-year deal or would you prefer it not to be?
Years, Steven. I think they're hard to watch. there are aspects of them that are fun to watch. I mean, but I just being honest.
Right.
You know, it's very, very difficult to look at a team that you know is going to lose and maybe lose big. And that was a rough road trip that just came off of. You know, Mark Cuban's going to be a star. I mean, I think that you know, you hate to compare a kid to another all-star just because they're very similar to Porzingis, and if he could be that kind of guy for the Bulls, boy, they really hit. But he does look the part. Chris Dunn is, I like Chris Dunn a lot. I think that he's got to work on his shot, but I like the way that he's got an edge tool, and he plays with it. He's defensively going to be a guy that's never going to be overmatched.
Right.
And you need one of those guys on the floor all the time. I'm very curious about Zach LaVine. What I like about Zach LaVine is, the skill set was there, but I didn't realize about him the intangibles that have been obvious during his rehab. I mean, this is a natural leader, a guy that accepts the responsibility that comes with being one of the best players on a team, and I think Chicago's going to love him if he can deliver. Valentine's been interesting up and down, but I hope, because he's a guy that you know, you can't teach. I mean, I guess you could teach shooting, but it's such a natural shot for him that you'd like to see him get more minutes. Beyond that, boy, they need some free agents. They need to draft wisely. I hope that they've learned some of their lessons. I'm also very intrigued by how this rebuild has brought out some of the fire in Fred Hoiberg.
Mm-hmm.
He's much more critical with this team than he has been of past teams, and he's been dealt a very difficult test, or difficult hand, and I think that you know, you're learning more about him. And so far, it's, you know, they don't have the victories to show for it. Nobody expected those. But I kind of like some of the things I've seen from Hoiberg.
Right. And David, we talked about this several times in the past. I found personally, you know, I'm a diehard Chicago sports fan. I found these last 2 years, even with the talent on the floor, Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, I found the last two seasons for the Bulls hard to watch. And, you know, they're hard to watch now, as you said earlier, but I see like a eerily fulfilling feeling watching ball movement, you know, the team being on the same page, knowing, hey, we're not good, but you know what, we're going to go out there and work hard and we're going to develop. That's eerily reassuring to me as a fan that finally there's a direction that's being picked. And you mentioned Fred Hoiberg. I have seen his growth as a coach. This is the system, believe it or not, he wants to run. Three-point shooting, playing with pace, and going up and down when he needed it. And even though they're not that good, David, it seems he finally has the personnel to run his his playbook. Like you said, go ahead.
You appreciate the game. You know, you appreciate the way that they're playing because it's more of a team-oriented approach than, look, everybody understands the NBA is about having a couple superstars and building around them.
Right.
The problem with the Bulls the last few years was the so-called superstars, were a little bit more inconsistent than you'd like, and it became more about the individual than about the team.
Yep.
They were the Jimmy Butler, they're Jimmy and the Butlerettes. and it was just too much of a me thing, and I don't know that this is going to work. I think it's sort of like the Spurs model. It's more of a team-wide approach to basketball and a coach's offense and see how they do. But I would agree with you totally that, even though they're losing and can be hard, that could be hard to watch, the aesthetic value of the Bulls has increased because they're trying a method. And, there's something behind that. And so you appreciate effort. Everybody appreciates effort in Chicago, and you're getting it every night from this young team.
Yes, sir, David, and we'll wrap it up with the Bulls real quick. I have to ask the columnist, David Hall, how he feels about this. NBA All-Star Weekend is returning to Chicago in 2020, and you're going to obviously cover it. I want to get your opinion on the impact it will have on this city as well as the organization. Being at the center of the basketball universe come 2020, hopefully you have a guy like Markkanen or LaVine representing you, but does that effectively put, let's say, future free agents or some big-time players' eyes on the city of Chicago with the All-Star Weekend coming back here?
Well, I always think the free agency, the most appealing thing is money. It's always going to be money. But okay. I do think this, Stephen. I think what happens when you agree to host an All-Star game in 2020, you agree to let the league stare at you. Okay, as an organization, you have guaranteed, that kind of like a showcase. And to me, I think it's a good thing for all of the things that come with that kind of exposure and all of the, positive PR and the way that you can, Chicago is the center of the NBA universe. But I also think it's good because of this. It starts the clock ticking louder. The Bulls organization has, hopefully before then, but until 2020, to put a legitimate NBA title contender back on the floor.
Yes,
because you don't want the whole league to be looking at this in February of 2020 and saying, what the heck happened to the Bulls?
Right.
Do you remember the glory days? Do you remember when they got to the playoffs? It says, you want them to say, okay, look what the Bulls have done in rebuilding around Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine. Look at this team and it's about ready to replace LeBron James as the perennial number one or number two seed in the East. That's the challenge. I think that's the good thing about hearing the clock tick a little bit louder.
Yes, sir. Great stuff, David. And I appreciate you taking the time to join me again. David Hall from the Chicago Tribune on the All Day SJ Show. Switching across the hallway of the United Center, let's talk about a team you're real comfortable with. If you guys follow David on Twitter, at David Hall, you would know that he is a proud hockey dad. what is the Blackhawks' identity this season, David? I mean, they seem to have turned a corner recently. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10 games. But as a fan watching, I would say they're inconsistent. As the standings currently stand, they only have a 1-point lead to qualify for the postseason. Is their reign coming to an end? I mean, in their dynamic reign over the last 10 years, and is that championship window shut, or is it clinging to life, and is it still slightly open?
I think it's still open to crack. I still think that it's hockey, and hockey's fluky. And again, the inconsistency is going to be there because what the Hawks did last offseason was they committed to kind of certainly wasn't a rebuild, but it was a transitional phase.
Right.
And the transition is they had to get better defensively, and they were willing to part with a core player in Nicholas Dalman. Helmerson to kind of, you know, change the dynamic on the blue line. And they made a trade with Columbus to get Brandon Saad back, to get rid of Panarin. They knew that they were getting a little stale, and they were trying to get it in front of it. And I think in doing that, and I've been critical of Stan Bowman, you know, in terms of a couple of weeks ago writing about, you know, the fact that, you know, did he get rid of the wrong defenseman? Did he, you know, did you miss Chalmerson? And you're going to, you know, have to make another move before you solidify this roster. You know, they, I think they're, you know, 4-0-1 since then. So this is the team that is going to live through some inconsistent stretches, but they're going to be exciting because of the young talent that they've developed. Alex DeBrincat is a very dynamic goal scorer that is unlike any player that Hawks had because of his stature and because of his ability. Nick Schmaltz has got speed to burn and is an exciting player. And this is sort of the next wave. You know, Brandon Saad, people forget, I think he's only 24, 25. What a player. Right. He's already, you know, been through so much. I like watching the Hawks because I think that they deliver a pretty consistent product, and they have for some time. They also have the pedigree that tells you that they're going to be in a position to be interesting by the time the playoffs come around, and I think they'll make the playoffs. I'm not going to predict they're going to win, you know, the West. They might not even get out of the first round again, but I think that they're going to give themselves a chance, and they need their stars to play like stars, and they need their kids to continue to develop.
Great stuff, David. And again, as a fan, this I know better than to write the Hawks off. I mean, you can't,
right.
The pedigree, you mentioned it, 3 Stanley Cups in the last 8 or 9 years, whatever it is, you know better than to write this team off. And I've seen a couple seasons like this, even when they were winning Cups, the Cup right after they won their first one, 2010-11, and the year after that, they were kind of, you know, that middle of the pack team, good enough to make the playoffs, but they always found a way to retool, and they went on to win 2 more Cups. So I think any fans of the team that are worried and thinking that they're old and they're done, like, you know better. Like, let's just call it what it is. David, great stuff again. I know your time is limited, and I really appreciate you joining the show. Before I let you go, I got one more question or statement, to be quite frank. Before I let you go, I got to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Rank the futures of each Chicago sports franchise. The Bears, the Blackhawks, the Bulls, the Cubs, and the White Sox.
Okay, that's a good one. I would say that's a really good one. I got to start with the Cubs. I think the Cubs are obviously still the class of Chicago because of the most recent champion. And I have more faith in Theo Epstein and the ability to put a legitimate World Series contender on the field. And I think they're going to have a very busy month. So next time we talk about the Cubs moves, because they're going to make, I think that they're at the top. I think the Hawks are probably the next closest to winning a championship. I think they also get the benefit of the doubt because of what we just discussed. You know, since 2010, they and the Penguins have been the class of the NHL. They're competing for who's got the better dynasty, if you want to use that word.
Right.
So I think the Hawks are in second place. After that, you know, I think the White Sox have put themselves in a position to be interesting by the time, let's say, use 2020 as the guide, 2019. You know, the White Sox have done everything right that rebuilding teams are supposed to do. They have, you know, made the trades. They have rebuilt the farm system. They've got the people in place, and now it's just a matter of waiting for that potential to, you know, mature. And I think that they're probably right there third. They're certainly ahead of the Bears. The Bears and the Bulls, who's the worst franchise in sport in Chicago right now? That's a tough one, but I will give the Bears the spot right behind the White Sox fourth because they've got the franchise quarterback. They,
right.
they did find him. And the NFL, Stephen, as you know, is more of a get better soon type of league. You can get back to the playoffs and by, you know, 2019. Heck, the Bears could get back to the playoffs next year with the right offseason. Look at the Rams.
Right.
So I think I would put them fourth. And not to pick on them, but the Bulls are probably furthest away because they chose this path, but I will give them credit. It hasn't been. They had to choose a lane. They had to pick a lane. and the one they were in was crowded and you know, bumper to bumper traffic with a lot of ego and all sorts of you know, things in the way, obstruction. They chose a path that's much clearer to me because they can defend it, they can define it, and they have a star in marketing that I think they're going to build around with Levine and Dunn and other pieces that I think are very, very strong pieces. So I would go Cubs, I would go Hawks, I'd go Sox, I'd go Bears, and then I'd go Bulls. And somewhere in there, next time we got to talk about Northwestern because they are, with their basketball and football programs, both top 25. That also makes Chicago sports a little more exciting.
Hey, that's Illinois Big Ten school. You are absolutely correct, and that is definitely a topic we're going to discuss next time I have you on the show. A lot of connections there. We got Doug Collins in the Bulls organization. Now we got Chris Collins coaching the team. You know, Fitzgerald is doing a nice job with that football team, and we're definitely going to give them some love next time you get on the show. David, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out to hop on and join, man. My listeners are really going to enjoy this. You know what you do, and you do a very great job at the Chicago Tribune, and you do an awesome job when you're featured on NBC Sports Chicago's television programs. And
well, you keep up the good work. Your listeners are lucky you got such a commitment and passion for Chicago sports. It's great talking to you anytime.
I appreciate that, David, and, you know, I'm looking forward to having you on again, man. The season's wrapping up, and I really do, again, I appreciate you joining the show, man. This was an awesome talk. I enjoyed it. And I can't wait to post this, and everyone's going to be in for a treat when it's ready. So I thank you again for your time, David, and I wish happy holidays to you. God bless you and your family. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Take care. All righty.